Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Tonight I want to share a message with you that God laid on my heart called the freedom of forgiveness. It's a message that, you know, a lot of times we don't understand how much bondage we're in because we really haven't forgiven like we ought to forgive. A lot of times when we're in a house of God like this, we'll hear a message about forgiveness and not realize the importance of its power. There isn't one person in this room tonight that hadn't been hurt by somebody. I promise you that. There's people that have let you down, people have made promises to you, people that have violated your space, people have trespassed in your life and treaded upon your heart. How sad that is. And one thing that's comforting is you're not alone. And we're all there and we're all facing enough times things that have in our past been horribly discouraging. I can think of people and situations in my life as I was meditating this message just today that I thought of people's lives that just have so violated and so lied and so hurt my heart. And I'd had to make sure, of course, even when I thought of their names and saw their faces in my mind's eye, I had to make sure that I was right with God as I ministered this message. I feel very comfortable that that is the case. But for some of you that are in here, what you don't understand is that there's a power behind forgiveness that sets you free. And a power that'll keep you in bondage, literally tormented in your life, if you don't walk in forgiveness. The question is, in the mind's eyes of every one of you that are there today, that are looking back at me right now, you can name people in your eyes, you can see their faces of people who have let you down and hurt you and have violated your space, who broke your heart as my heart has been broken numerous times. I don't stand before you and tell you that I'm a guy that hasn't ever had any feelings. I've had my heart broken more than once, never understanding why, couldn't figure it out, never did to this day figure it out, couldn't figure it out. But there's got to be something that you and I see that is a characteristic of God, and that's called forgiveness. If we're going to be like God, if we're going to receive the blessings of God, if we're going to live a life above the norm, and I don't know about you, but I want to live a life above the norm. I don't want to just get by and be like everybody else. Do you? I want to live a life that is happy and filled and had a future and going and doing what it needs to do. I don't want to live the normal, mundane, boring existence that most people live. In order to do that, I'm going to have to start walking in the ways of the Lord who gives me the illustrations and examples on how to live. And one of them is this word called forgiveness. It's a bizarre word. I want to read, if I may, take you to Matthew, the 18th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, go there with me. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, there's this amazing little story. It's a parable, if you will, and it means it's a story talks about a spiritual truth so that we can understand it a little bit better. When a parable comes along, what it says is this is just an illustration physically of something that takes place, something spiritually that you should learn from it. That's what it means. And it was one of the methods that Jesus used to teach his disciples. And tonight as we read this little story about the unforgiving servant, we can put ourselves in a number of places and we can learn and grow together tonight. Because here's why. You want to walk out of this place tonight different than when you came in. You want to walk out of this place where the life that you live is free. And you are living a life that God has for you. Not a life that the world has determined for you or some person has violated you and put you in bondage about something. You want to be blessed. You want to be happy. You want to be filled. You want to be prosperous, and you know it. And therefore, you're going to have to adhere to the principles that God has for us in Scripture. You say, well, how do I do that? I don't know how to do that, Pastor. I'm here to tell you, you do it by the grace of God. That's his ability that gets in and makes something work, not yours. Remember, I've said it a million times. I'll say it a million more. You put in the natural. He puts in the supernatural. Now you got the supernatural life that you desire and you know you want it. Everybody's always looking for the supernatural. That's why they lined up all night long to watch Iron Man 2 when it came out last week. But the real supernatural is found in you. As you adhere to the word of the Lord, you've now become the hero of life. I love that. You don't have to look any further. The real hero in your life is Jesus, and he puts the super in. You put the natural in. Now you have a supernatural experience. But in order for that to happen, you're going to have to, just like I am, adhere to what God says. If you don't know what God says, then what do? You just keep bumping along, wondering why God never answers your prayers, wondering why there's never a blessing, wondering why everybody else seems to be blessed and happy and filled, and you're miserable talking to yourself when you're alone because you don't know what to do. And tonight, you can daydream all you want, and you can think about what you're going to do when you get out of here. You can concentrate just a little bit, start putting yourself in this parable and see where you fit. And whether or not you're operating really in this, or are you just thinking about it? Let's think about it together. Let's take a look at verse number 23. Jesus is speaking, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." So here's this king wanting to settle up and see how things are. This king has got control, he's got servants. And his servants owe him things, or people that, owe money are always servants to those that are the lenders. Remember, the Bible tells us that. And so we come along, we see this king wants to settle up and get paid back for what's owed to him. Verse number 24, it says, "And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made." I mean, stop and think about it. That's a harsh thing. Wouldn't it be horrible? I mean, think about how if you borrow money, let's say, from Bank of America, and they don't just come after your house, they come after your life. Some of you already feel like they have, but I want you to know they haven't. They're not selling you off into slavery, your wife, your children, and everything you own. These are tough times for some people. We have it pretty well made. We ought to be able to just float through this time. These are tough times. He's unable to pay, and the king gets furious and says, "Sell him off." Verse number 26 says, "And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant," verse number 27, "was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt." Verse number 28. "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.'" So here's this guy that owes a ton of money and he gets released from it. And here's a guy now that owes him just a few bucks, and he's manhandling him, grabbing him by the throat and yelling at him. Kind of crazy, huh? Verse number 29 comes along. "So the fellow servant fell down on his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt." I mean, is that stupid? Number one, stop and think about it. The guy's not going to earn any money or do anything to pay a debt when he's in prison. So you can see right away that people that don't forgive people are not in their right minds. And we follow something that's contrary to our own personal benefit. He throws him into prison. Verse number 31 says, "And when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and they told the master all that had been done. And his master, after he had called him, he said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you of all your debts because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him into the torturers until he shall pay all that was due to him. And I want to just stop at verse number 34 for a second. Now all of a sudden the guy that should have been in forgiveness is not in forgiveness. And the master now has turned him over to the torturers or the tormentors. And one translation says those that bring aggravation in your life. Have you ever had a face go by that you didn't like? In other words, in your mind, and you were thinking about somebody that you didn't care much for? Have you ever had a thought about someone when you think about them, all of a sudden something happens on the inside of you? You get angry, you get frustrated, you say, how is it that they prosper? How is it they could do that? And you get just ugly about it on the inside, and you're tortured if you really want to know. And that's exactly what happens here. This guy is turned over to the torturers. In other words, when you don't forgive, you get turned over to people that will torture you and torment you for the rest of your life. You gotta get it off your back. If you don't, you're the one that's miserable. And that's so true. So is Heavenly Father also. He says this word. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart. Now this Jesus speaking to his disciple. Now my Heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. In other words, his brother is going to screw up and make mistakes. Trespasses means trespasses. You're going to know people in your life that are going to trespass against you, even Christians. Sometimes it's hard for me to even hire Christians to do some of my job because they are so incredibly flaky. They say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, and I find out they're liars or cheaters and they're out to bolt me in every area, and I get so frustrated it makes me crazy. Sometimes I like to hear, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, but I'll be here on time and I'll finish the job. Wow, you got the job, man. Then some guy that comes along and says, here he comes along, makes a statement. He says, number one, even your brothers are going to offend you. People are going to tick you off. Get used to it. But you have got to walk in forgiveness. And you say, how could a Christian do that? They do. They do it all the time. See, our minds are not yet renewed. We're saved, but we still think like the old way. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. In other words, I can't be conformed to the way the world does things, but I'm born of the Spirit of God. And before I become transformed in my thinking, I'm going to still act like I used to think. So guess what? We need to be patient with each other, forgive each other, and realize there's people that are Christians that we're going to trespass against us. Don't get mad at God, get mad at the church, and get mad at them. Just walk in forgiveness. And what happens is we don't do that. I can't go to that church because they're there. What is that all about? That's real love and charity. That's real forgiveness. See, the point being is that nobody's finished. God's not finished with any of us yet. We're like a canvas that has been painted. And you know, when the first few markings are put on the canvas, it's going to outline what the artist is going to do when the oil goes on. But still, it's just the markings of what they're doing. You can't go during the time of the markings and say, I hate the painting. It's not finished yet. And for every single one of us, God's not finished, including me, not finished with me yet. Somebody ought to say, thank God. And so here we are. We're always judging. We're always criticizing. We're walking in non-forgiveness, and we put ourselves in torment all the time. Now look, let me say this to you. Mark that spot in your Bible. Now I want to share something with you. There are three things that you have got to do in order to live in the abundance and the fulfillment of forgiveness. Three things. Did you know it says it right there in the scriptures? Three things that we just read that you must do in order for you to have the abundance of forgiveness. If you know what those three things are, when it comes to those people that aggravate you and sinned against you and trespassed in your heart, then you can do them. Is that okay? The way to look at this is, let's look at verse number 27. Mark it in your Bible, Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 27. We're going to keep on coming back, if you will, to these verses. The first thing is the word compassion. Number one, compassion. But look what it says. Then the master of that servant was moved with, number one, compassion. Amen. You know what compassion is? A lot of people don't understand. Compassion is looking past the obvious and feeling the person's failure. Yeah. Let me say it again. I wish somebody would write that down for me, because that just came out of my mouth. For the first time I've ever heard that in my life, it just came out. I'm not sure I know how to repeat it. But boy, it was good. It was really God. I need to go sit in the audience and listen to myself preach. How did I say that? Compassion is getting past the person's obvious. See how important this is? And seeing the person's... No, you got it all screwed up, Cindy. You got it totally screwed up. Come on, let's try it again. Good. Let's look past the obvious. There's compassion. And seeing his feelings. And feeling their failure. Man, I should write that down, because that was definitely not for me, was it? I still don't know what I said. Doesn't that give you a feeling of great security to know that the pastor doesn't know what he's talking about? Didn't we not pray that the Holy Spirit would come in and teach us? I'm just the mouthpiece here, you know what I'm saying? Okay, now watch this. Let's try it again. Compassion is looking past the obvious and feeling their failures. Wow. Did you guys get that in the back room? Because they ought to type that out and put that up for us. Let's try it one more time. Compassion is getting past the obvious and feeling their failures. That's one more time. Compassion is getting past, no, looking past the obvious and feeling their failures. Whoa. That's getting better and clearer, isn't it? Let's try that one more time. Compassion is looking past the obvious. The obvious is, I hate that person. They are real jerks. Idiot. You know what I'm talking about? Here's how it goes. Let's try this again. The compassion is looking past the obvious and feeling their failures. What do I mean by that? Let's talk about it for a moment. One of the things that Jesus does when he looks at you and looks at me is he feels where I came from. He knows what I've gone through. He understands my life. He knows why I react the way I react. He knows why I feel the way I feel. He knows the way I act the way I act. He understands me. I remember one time when I was playing professional baseball, I played ball with a guy all through, listen to this, from Little League to professional baseball. I couldn't stand this guy. He was like the meanest guy. We'd have fights. He'd beat the snot out of me. He was big, and I just kept fighting him. We fought from Little League, and were in competition all the way through professional baseball. He signed with the Boston Red Sox. I signed with Oakland, which you know to be the Oakland Athletics, which is the Kansas City Athletics in those days. And we met in spring training. And here's two kids from Little League now meeting in spring training. I'm pitching for the Athletics. He's hitting for Boston. And we hate each other. Just hated each other. And you can mention his name, and I just want to fight. Just want to fight. I won't mention his name because he became a very famous baseball player, and I won't want to mention his name because I didn't, which made me hate him even more. Oh man, this is like true confession. But I remember a time. Now listen to this. I remember a time when the parents came to a game. We were in Florida in the spring training, and the parents all came. And my mom and dad were there. They were very excited, and we were in. My mom and dad came out. My mom and dad loved me. I had a dad all the time. When his parents came out, there were no parents. And I remember getting into his heart. And I remember feeling his failures. Here's a guy that was mean, vicious, competitive, ugly, abusive. And I didn't realize that was the life that he lived without someone properly guiding him. No dad at home. No mom, brought up in a home that beat the snot out of him. And all of a sudden, I remember this, that all of a sudden my failure for him, my hatred for him, and my competition with him ceased. And he never changed because there wasn't any ability to change. There wasn't any ability for me to change because I wasn't a Christian either. So he never changed, but I remember feeling his failures. Now I could understand why he was the way he was. Now I could understand why he acted the way he acted. Now I could understand where I took myself out of the picture. I saw who he was, and now I felt who he was. And now from that comes a product called compassion when you're a Christian. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus comes, and he sees you, all the stuff in the background. He sees when the dad put you down. He sees when the school teachers belittled you. He sees when the big brothers beat the snot out of you. He saw the time in the closet when you cried and hid from the cousins that were going to beat you up and wouldn't let you. He saw the pain of your childhood. And now he comes and he sees that. And now he can put himself into that spot. And now here from that spot comes the compassion. Is anybody listening? So, compassion is looking past the obvious and feeling their failures. And that's what God does. In other words, oftentimes all we do is we stay on the obvious. We never realize that behind them is something else that caused them to be that way. I don't know what it is, but God knows. And that's why God continues. That's why when we sang that song about love, God continues to operate because God knows where they're from and what they're doing. And why they are the way they are. Why they say what they say. And why they act the way they act. God knows that. And from understanding that comes this incredible word called compassion. Listen to what the Word of God says in Luke, the 10th chapter. Just pop it up for me on the overhead. Let's take a look at it. The 10th chapter, verse number 33. Here's these guys. A guy goes and he's from Jerusalem and he gets beat up on these roads. And he's a thief and they rob him and they kill him. And they leave him on the side of the road for dead. And the Samaritan comes along. Everybody else has passed him by. Everybody else is saying the obvious, didn't want to get involved. But here's one Samaritan that comes by. He sees the obvious and feels the pain of that man's failure. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came down where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. From this compassion comes this incredible action. Verse number 34. It says, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds and poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. If it wasn't for the compassion, he would have been just like everybody else that passed that beat up man on the road. Why? Because he saw the obvious, but he didn't get into his pain. And sometimes we see the obvious of somebody who hurt us, but but we never get into what makes them that way. And oftentimes, all you have to do is, God, show me where they're from and what they've done. God will reveal it, and tears will flood down your eyes, giving you the compassion. First thing you and I need to do in order to forgive is operate in compassion. Go back with me, if you will, in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse number 27. Is anybody listening? The second word we're going to talk about here is the word release. Now that you've had compassion, just like that one on the road, you're going to have to release them. In fact, a lot of times when you read this, let's take a look, if you will, in verse number 27. It says, and when the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him his debts. Released him is what God is all about. In fact, if you really want to know about the character of God, you know what God does? He not only empowers us, but he releases us before he empowers us. So yes, God empowers us. Yes, God builds us. Yes, God cares about us. Yes, God wants our future. But God does something that won't give you any good at all until God releases you. Because until you're released, you're in bondage. Until you're released, you're a slave to sin. Until Jesus comes and dies on that cross. Why did he die on that cross? He died on that cross to take your sin. What for? So that you can be free. And the very character of God is releasing. Isn't that beautiful? The very character of God is releasing. And you and I, as his kids, have got to operate in this power of forgiveness, and the very character of God is releasing, then our job is to have that compassion, number one. Number two, and then we got to release them. Because the Bible says, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. I'm going to loose you from the transgression. I'm going to loose you from the trespass. I'm going to release you from the violation. I'm going to release you from the pain you caused and suffered in my life. When you do that, now you're operating in a godly principle. You know what the devil wants to do is keep you in bondage all the time. But Jesus came to set you free in every area of your life. Because guess what? Blessing you is no good unless you're free to take the blessings. Are we on the same track? No good. Oh, God, bless me. God, listen, God, you got to get me free. And he's done that by the cross. Now we need to move in that liberty, that freedom. Is anybody listening? In fact, in the Old Testament, Isaiah 61, verse number 1, there's this cool verse that talks about Jesus. Also talks about Jesus when Jesus himself made this statement in Isaiah 61, verse number 1. Watch this. Let's pop it up on the overhead. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Remember, Jesus was to preach the good tidings to the poor. This is all the words of the New Testament out from Jesus. Listen to this. And he says, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. That's setting free. That's releasing. Listen to this. To the captives and the opening of the prison doors to those that are bound. My goodness sakes alive. That's you and me. God had to forgive us in order to release us from a debt we could not pay. And now we ask every one of us that are Christians that we have compassion like he had on us and release those that have violated us. Which brings us to a place of number three, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Kind of, you got to forgive. And you know what I found out about forgiveness? You got to keep forgiving until it's finally gone. I forgive them. Deep down inside, you still hate their guts. Still don't like when you think about them. Don't like it when you see them in the grocery store. Don't like it when you see them in the market. Don't like them walking down the street. Don't like them. Here's why. Number one, you felt no compassion. Number two, you haven't released them. And number three, you got to live in forgiveness. You got to forgive all the time. Because that same stuff that puts you back in bondage and turns you over to the tormentor, not them, you over to the tormentor wants to put you back in bondage and put you into the tormentor's hand again. Is anybody listening? And it's so important for us as Christians to realize that this forgiving today, I do it by faith. I forgive. Yeah. And when it pops up in my heart and my mind and it becomes a violation to my heart, I can feel it coming in. I say, I forgave. It's over with. I release them. I release them. God, you just bless them. And I found that who I bless, I get free from. Isn't that true? Because that's what Jesus did. He came, set you free, released you, forgave you of your sins, and then blessed you. Which gives you now the ability to be free. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So therefore, now it gives you the ability to get free. What's that mean? You now have the ability to get prosperous in every area of your life. Is anybody listening? So it's so cool to look at this, and it's right in front of our face. Here's some verses that many of you have read over and over again all of your life. And God was just jumping out the page saying, here it is. Three areas. I like what it says in Luke. Go back to Luke, the 17th chapter, verse number 4 of Luke. Pop it up on the overhead. Watch this. And here talking about how many people sin. And if he sins against you 7 times a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Remember, compassion, release, and forgive. Whether they repent or don't repent, even though the next verse tells you if they repent, forgive. Which means to some people, they didn't repent, so I don't have to forgive. That's not what he's saying. He says it all through the scripture, your job is to be like God and forgive when you're violated. Is anybody listening? I remember one time I preached a message similar to this, and everybody in the church came up to me and said, I forgive you, Pastor. Like, what the heck are you talking about? I don't even know you went to this church. Who are you? Next person, I forgive you, Pastor. I forgive you. I want you to know, I forgive you. Don't come up to me and tell me you forgive me. I don't even know you're mad at me. Breaks my heart. I forgive you. Forgive me for what? I didn't do nothing. Don't even know you. Then I have to walk in forgiveness. Is anybody listening? Okay, number one, compassion. What's compassion? When you look past the obvious and feel their failures. Compassion is expressed at that time. Secondly, you're going to have to release. That's the very character of God. Before anybody can get blessed, they've got to be released. Before you can get blessed, you've got to release it, or you'll be in the hands of the tormentors. And thirdly, you're going to have to forgive and every day work on it until it's no longer an issue. And you hear them, and you see them. I just want to bless them, not a problem. That's what this is all about. So here we are in the house of God tonight, and God has spoken in his house. If he has spoken to you, give him a great big praise the Lord. We hear that?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.